Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
The big news in sports this week is about former Red Sox great Roger Clemens. Clemens, who played for the Sox and the New York Yankees, was acquitted of all charges that he lied to Congress when he claimed that he never used performance-enhancing drugs during his career.
Bill Littlefield usually joins us on Wednesdays to talk sports, but he's away today, so only a game producer Karen Given is here instead. Hi, Karen.
Hi, guys.
So, a long career that included lots of impressive wins. This may have been Clemens' biggest victory yet. Here he is on Monday, clearly emotional, after he was acquitted of all six counts of lying to Congress.
I put a lot of hard work into that career. And again, I appreciate my teammates that came in and all the emails and phone calls
That's right.
Thank you all very much.
So, Karen, we've heard a lot about what a weak witness Brian McNamee was that really doomed the government's case. He was Clemens' former strength coach. Now we're hearing from some of the jurors. What do they say?
Well, they're saying pretty much exactly that Brian McNamee just wasn't credible. I mean, the guy kept the so-called evidence in a beer can, which is probably not what you want to do if you want to convince a jury that you're the guy they should listen to. One of the jurors said it looked like, quote, six-year-old garbage.
Oh,
and it seems like the jury was looking for reasons to believe Clemens and not believe McNamee. Like, they were trying to decide if Clemens had ever lied about anything. And there was a party at Jose Canseco's house. Clemens says he didn't go, but there was a picture of him at the house. And
oh
the
God.
Jury decided that even though Clemens was at the house, that does not mean he was at the party.
Hmm. Now, I know this is a bit of Monday morning quarterbacking regarding a court case, but given that the government did rely so heavily on McNamee, it seems like their case was possibly doomed from the start.
Quite possibly. And a lot of people now are saying that it was a waste of resources and a waste of money. In fact, that's exactly what Don Mattingly, who's the manager for the LA Dodgers, is saying. And he's saying, quote, nobody cares. But I think what people are forgetting in that is that this isn't a case over whether Roger Clemens took performance-enhancing drugs. It's a case over whether he lied to Congress. And I think we do still care about that.
So in that case, this is still a huge win for Roger Clemens.
Absolutely.
Does that mean that his path to the Hall of Fame is clearer now?
I think it is, because I think as we get on past the doping scandals, I think people really are caring less and less. And voters will still say publicly, oh, I still consider this a lot. But it's going to be hard to look at Roger Clemens' 7 Cy Young Awards and not vote for him.
Karen, let's move on to basketball, and let's have one more moment with the Celtics. We know that next year's team will probably look a lot different than this year's version. And a poll on Boston.com asked readers to vote on which players they want to see return next season. What did the poll find?
So Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo, Avery Bradley, and Jawan Johnson are the only players under contract for next year. So that leaves a lot of open questions.
So that's just four.
That's just four.
Wow.
Out of a whole lot of players. So not surprisingly, Celtics fans want to keep most of the names you know, like Kevin Garnett, and they want to get rid of most everyone else, except Ray Allen. 61% of the people who have responded say Ray Allen can go.
What do they have against Ray Allen? That bothers me.
He's old.
He's old.
37.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
can you imagine?
God, I can hear his joints creaking from here.
So that's what the fans want. What's likely to happen?
I think what's likely to happen is that we're going to see a lot of the names we do care about go. I mean, that's how these things work out, right? Those names that nobody knows and nobody cares if they stay or go, well, they're cheap and they're going to stay.
Well, Karen, if we could, I would love to move on to a little soccer. You're going to have to really play the role of Bill here, knowing what a fan he is of European soccer, especially because the European Soccer Championship is going on right now. It is a 3.5-week sporting extravaganza. And, of course, this year's tournament comes at a time where Europe is wrestling with a collapsing economy. Germany says austerity to those debt-ridden countries, Spain, Italy, and, of course, Greece. So imagine the huge sporting metaphor that has landed on our table. When we find out then the quarterfinal, it's going to be Germany versus Greece.
Absolutely. It is really a metaphor. Of course, Germany had real tough first round opponents of Portugal, the Netherlands, and Denmark. Interestingly enough, Ireland, Italy, and Spain were all in the same group, and some supporters started calling it the group of debt instead of the group of death. I do wish Bill was here because he could tell you whether Germany or Greece were likely to win this game, but I can tell you it will definitely be entertaining.
Well, there was a great, I found this in the wires, a German paper predicted Germany will beat Greece on Friday and joked, no rescue fund will help you. You can only imagine what the Greeks are saying about that.
I do have an idea, though. Maybe some of those players could offer to give up a year of their salaries, and given the exorbitant amounts they get paid to kick a ball around, that might help the Greeks a little.
That might help, but don't hold your breath.
Finally, Karen, tell us what you have coming up on Only a Game on Saturday. You're marking 40 years of Title IX and women in sports.
So we have a lot of really interesting and fun things coming up, including Bill Littlefield will have a piece about Brown University, which was sued in 1992 for not complying with Title IX, which took a lot of people by surprise, including the current athletic director, Mike Goldberger.
We always felt at Brown that we had done a great job in terms of providing opportunities for women in college athletics, because I think at the time we had offered more varsity opportunities than any other college in the country for women.
The fact is that Brown was doing a great job, but they had activist students who took them to court, and that court case really set the scene for how Title IX is enforced all across the country.
Karen Given is a producer with Only a Game, which airs every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. right here on WBUR. Karen, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And listeners, as we mentioned, this Saturday marks the 40th anniversary of Title IX. And WBUR wants to know, has Title IX changed the way you experience sports? Get in touch and tell us your story. Text ATHLETE to 877-877. That's ATHLETE to 877-877.
Coming up, a conversation with the president of the University of Massachusetts. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.